their time of kids church, we'll go ahead and pray for the offering. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for our fellowship of believers here and just the time that we get to spend together. And I pray that you would just remind us of all the reasons we have to be grateful in our lives. Even in the midst of challenges and trials, we always should have a heart of gratitude. And just as we can give back as an expression of gratitude for the work that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to follow along for the scripture today, again, it's out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. So, Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul.
What's wrong? You know, 67 years ago, this is how I walked around. Then I got enlightened, and I was helped by my parents and probably some other people, maybe my older brother, Larry. He was 16 months older, and I learned to walk. But you know, I've just lost confidence in walking. I'm really just drawing back to what's safe and secure. It's a lot safer down here. I mean, standing up, you can fall. I'm already down, right? So why would I take a chance and risk it to try to stand up on 2 feet when I can be on 2 knees and 2 hands? See, I've just decided to shrink back and play it safe. That's what Hebrews was talking about in the verses that Anne Marie read. They were enlightened about Jesus, and they were losing confidence. They were reverting back to the law of Moses. They weren't walking by faith. They were just playing it safe. They weren't willing to suffer for the faith, so they just started shrinking back from the faith. They didn't take that risk. And the writer of Hebrews was pretty strong about that. So maybe I should also have a little more confidence and see if I can manage 2 feet. We just got a video from Montana this week of little Laura, who's not even a year old, Andrew and Sarah's youngest, and she's going over to her mommy. She learned to walk this week. I hope Laura doesn't go back to crawling again. I hope she has confidence to learn to walk like we need to do. We need to have confidence that we can be faithful and not shrink back like the Hebrew people were doing. That's why the author wrote to them in the way he did. because they had suffered when they first were enlightened, and then things just got a little bit tough. And so they pulled back. Listen to those verses again. I want to point out some things while I read them. But recall the former days after you were enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then the writer, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, by the way. We know to whom it was written, not who wrote it. It was written to the Hebrew people who had become Christians, the Jewish Christians. And there's a quote here from their prophet Habakkuk. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That was just a bit weird for me to crawl up here. It's also just a bit weird when we believers live as if we don't have confidence in God. We've forgotten the death of Jesus for our sins, the filling and power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry we've been called to, and it's almost like we start crawling again instead of walking in confidence and endurance and strength. My righteous live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. In the series in Hebrews that Timothy laid out for us through the summer, this section today actually covers Hebrews 11, which is the roll call of faith, those in the Old Covenant who kept the faith. And that's what this last verse in chapter 10 is introducing. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and are preserved in their souls. And so chapter 11 says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then there's a whole list of people who lived by faith. Now, I'd like, just to help us understand this, I'd like to read this in a version that is in a little more common language. It's called the New Century Version. Just listen again. It's not a long scripture. Listen to the meaning as this translation puts it, New Century Version. Remember those days in the past when you first learned the truth? You had a hard struggle with many sufferings, but you continued strong. Sometimes you were hurt and attacked before crowds of people, and sometimes you shared with those who were being treated that way. You helped the prisoners. You even had joy when all that you owned was taken from you because you knew you had something better and more lasting. So do not lose the courage you had in the past, which has a great reward. You must hold on so you can do what God wants and receive what he has promised. Today is a pep talk out of Hebrews. Stay faithful. That's the title. And I made faithful two words with a hyphen. Faithful. Be full of faith. Then he quotes Habakkuk, for in a very short time the one who is coming will come and will not be delayed. The person who is right with me will live by trusting in me. But if he turns back with fear, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who turn back and are lost. We are people who have faith and are saved. So there's the story. And notice three times you have the concept of courage, endurance. You endured a hard struggle. Don't throw away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. This is a race for which we need endurance. Now, that means that when things get tough, as the old expression goes, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. We need to be tough in the faith so that we don't crumble when we meet adversity. And a lot of times, faith is challenged in the midst of suffering. My faith was challenged as I watched my brother for 11 months have moments of healing and then moments of suffering, three bouts with infection. My faith was tested, and his faith was tested. But I needed to stand on my faith. And my brother's faith grew stronger through that suffering. And when he finally lost the battle here on earth, he won the eternal battle in heaven. And our faith needed to see us through that. See, faith comes into play when it gets tough. It doesn't take faith to sit in a chair. It doesn't even really take faith to walk. But you know, there were times when for my brother, it took faith to walk, to put one foot in front of the other with the pain, holding onto a walker or a physical therapist and being able to walk. One time after a time in bed, he stood up, and just getting out of bed and standing up was an incredible accomplishment. But he had that motivation. And we need to have that kind of motivation. We need to have that faith. And so we have examples of the faith. And all these people went through some kind of adversity. These people in the Hall of Faith. It's not a Hall of Fame, chapter 11. It's a Hall of Faith. Hall of the Faithful. You know, in the context of that immediate part of Hebrews, we can see how these verses at the end of 10, Timothy actually had, in the series, said, preach on Hebrews 11. But last week, he stopped at verse 31 of chapter 10 and said, you know, the next verses are really introduction to 11. Turns out I decided these are the ones we need to focus on, because this introduction lays down the principles that motivated those people mentioned in chapter 11 who kept the faith. And it needs, those principles need to motivate us. And last week, Timothy made the point that we also need to be careful that we don't pull back from assembling together with other believers, being part of the body. And Timothy, I think, last week rightly said that we're not talking about merely going to church or coming to Bible study. We're talking about relationships in which we're accountable, through which we're learning the Word of God, experiencing the Holy Spirit together, doing mission work together, engaging with the body of Christ in a meaningful way. That's what we're called to do. It's not a matter of whether we warm the pew on a Sunday morning. It's whether or not we are actively engaged in the body of Jesus Christ and growing in that relationship. That's what we're called to do. So he said that last week in the earlier part of chapter 10, where it says, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. And if you look at even a larger context in all of Hebrews, you saw, and as Timothy's been preaching through this, as I've been in Florida, and you saw that the main point here was similar to the one we have today. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, the new covenant is a better covenant. Don't revert to the old one. Don't go back to the law of Moses. There's a sacrifice in Jesus that is so much greater than the sacrifice ever done in the Jewish law. There is something so much greater than the law. There's the Spirit. There's the new covenant. And we're called to that new covenant. Listen to how Paul puts that to the Galatians. This is a very similar passage. Oh, foolish Galatians. This is a similar kind of writing from Paul to the Galatians, just like the author of Hebrews wrote at the, in what we read today. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Notice the references to faith in here and also suffering. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh, the law? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, the same problem was existing with these Galatians, and there were many Jewish Christians in Galatia. And so it's really pretty much the same audience here. Galatians was particularly interested in the danger of returning to the law, which is the old covenant, just like the beginning Hebrews was about, rather than living in the new covenant by the Spirit. The law is followed by the flesh. God is followed in the new covenant by the Spirit. Does he use, so it says, just as, and then just like we looked at the 10th chapter of Hebrews leading into the 11th, so in this portion of Galatians, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, Abraham existed before the law of Moses. He heard God's call and he answered it. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Also, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Even Abraham, who was the first Jew, who followed God before the law, lived righteously apart from the law. He obeyed God. He heard God. He walked in faith. And so even this patriarch of Judaism calls us to live not by the law, but in a new way. And that new way was finalized in Jesus. And now here we are, having learned to walk and no longer crawling with law. And sometimes we want to go back to crawling and live by law, rules. That's pretty simple. Just do this, don't do that. Okay, I can follow that. Just give me the rules. No, give me the Spirit. Let me do things I can never even imagine. Let me walk by faith. Let me step out in faith. I noticed something as I was studying this section. There's an old acronym based on the word joy, and joy appears in our lesson. You joyfully accepted the possessions. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. There was joy there, and joyfully do that. We used to say years ago, I mean, this goes back to when I was in college, if you take J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. That's really an outline of what we've seen in Hebrews. Jesus brings the new covenant, and we need to follow him. Last week, we saw that we should not forsake the assembling together of ourselves with others. And this week, we ourselves are being called to walk by faith, not to lose the confidence we individually have in God. So that's an easy way to remember these three major principles that we've seen so far in Hebrews. There's an extensive number of chapters that deal with the fact that there is a better covenant, a better sacrifice, Jesus the high priest, Jesus the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, and now others. Chapter 10 kind of brings it all together, the beginning of it, that we need to have others. We don't walk this thing alone. When we saw the picture of Laura at Andrew and Sarah's learning to walk, she didn't just get up and start walking. Andrew was holding her. And obviously, Sarah or somebody was waiting for her to come. And on that little video, which I can show you at the picnic if you want to see it, Andrew let her start out, and she fell down. Then he got her back up again, and whoever was at the other side was coaxing her to come, and sure enough, she took about 5 or 6 steps. And she isn't going to be one until September. They should know better by now with their 4th child that you don't teach them to walk before a year. I've got to the point where I wanted to tie their feet together until they were over a year, just so they're not chasing around the house. But the point is, Laura didn't learn to walk by herself. She had help. We have help. Others. We can't make it alone. I had many alone times in Florida, but I was never alone. I had emails and phone calls and texts and cards and many, many who were praying. And my brother and I supported each other. You just don't make it alone. And yet, when it boils down to it, we have to have our faith. I'm relating this to what I just went through. You can relate it to what you're going through. I'll be processing my brother's passing for a long time. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. I had a dream, almost like a vision, that he would come here healed and better, fly home with me, and stand up here and thank you for your prayers. He did thank me for your prayers, but that's not how it went. And there was a strange thing that happened when he died, after being in hospice for into the 9th day. Mark and his family were brought here from Peru by my brother, who paid their flights so they could be with us in that last week. My sister and her husband came down. We were together in those early days when my brother was still aware, but then my sister needed to leave, and her mother-in-law died during that time, suddenly. And Mark and Kristen came up here so their kids could be part of Bible school, because by that time, Larry wasn't responding much. But I want to tell you, once Larry took his last breath on Sunday night, the 24th, I was there alone. I was alone. And it was almost fitting, because I'd been alone with him for much of the 11 months anyway. Not always. People visited. But by and large, day in and day out, it was my brother and me. And now even he had left. And when someone dies, you know they're not there anymore. I mean, from the faintest breath to no breathing is like night and day. And I was very alone. And I needed to have my faith. That's what this lesson's saying. Yourself. Your faith. We need to have faith. We need to keep the faith and not throw it away or revert back to something less. I've found Three other scriptures quickly. We're going to be out of here by 11:30 for the picnic. But I just want you to see some other places in the Word that say the very same thing Galatians said and Hebrews said. One is found in Timothy, where Paul was writing to Timothy. And notice the similarity in the principles here. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. See, Paul was aware that he stood in line, a line of those who had the faith. And he's going to remind Timothy of the same thing. I thank God whom I serve as I'm reading in the first chapter of the second letter. As did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, Timothy. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that other dimension, that I may be filled with joy. Ironically, joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that you got out of the blue from nowhere. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read that more carefully. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. We inherit this faith. We're taught to walk. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Don't let it diminish. Don't throw it away. Don't lose that confidence, Timothy. Fan it into flame. Let it burn again. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There again, passing down the faith. Paul, an older brother of Timothy's in the Lord, laid hands on him and imparted a ministry to him. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering. Remember, see how suffering often has a place? Share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, that's law, but because of his purpose and grace, that's spirit, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. It's amazing to me as I was just checking other scriptures how similar the themes are in Hebrews, the end of chapter 10, in Galatians chapter 3, and here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Suffering, the faith handed down from others who went before us, and needing to be rekindled in us. And then ironically, and I'll close with these references, ironically, in the letters to the seven churches that John received in his vision on the island of Patmos. By the way, the entire book of Revelation, as you know, was directed to those seven churches, actual churches in Asia Minor, today Turkey. Interestingly, Mark talked when he first came out of seminary, he taught us how to study the Bible, and he referred to bookends. Bookends are when you have a principle that's stated once in the beginning and then again at the end. It's like bookends that hold all the middle together. Well, interestingly, the same principle that we've talked about today appears in those seven letters as bookends. The first letter was to Ephesus. The seventh letter was to Laodicea. And you know, each letter challenges the church with something. Here's what the first one challenges Ephesus with. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. They even had the endurance. And how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So you say, oh, they're okay. Yeah, to a degree. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the first love you had. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. See, we can even be faithful, but lack that first love. What's so unique about that first love? I'm pretty excited about seeing Laura walk this week because they're her first steps. I can make her steps look pretty shabby. For a guy that just crawled today, I'm walking pretty well. But you know what excites me? Her first steps. That's the kind of faith we need. Like it's new. Like it's just the first time we've met Jesus. Wow. And then we go to the last letter to Laodicea and listen to what's said to them. I know what you do, that you are not hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. Let's be set on fire for Jesus. Like when we met him the first time, when we were first enlightened. You know, I know realistically that's a hard order. But if we draw near to God, we can have those moments. It's not all the time, but our lives can be alive, and our faith can be full. Fuller than it was the day before. Fuller because of the new believers that God brings across our path. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you that you have given us faith. Thank you that that faith lived in those who have gone before us. Many listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. Many listed in the early relatives that we've had in our families who've known you and led us to know you, who taught us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, may we walk with ever-increasing confidence, endurance, even if we face suffering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a couple random, potentially disconnected thoughts, but I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday. We were texting, and she was saying she's reading a book where it just talks about joy and grief and how, while they're so different, they're not incompatible at all. And that they truly do coexist in life. And I was just thinking when you were talking, I feel like at the intersection of joy and grief is often where you find faith. Because there's something in the joy of life that fuels our faith, but there's also something in the grief of life that requires faith. So I just thought that tied in. And then another thing, it's interesting. If you go to look for the word faith in the Old Testament, you're actually not going to find it that much. If you happen to like look in a concordance, it's overwhelmingly much more in the New Testament than the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, you have so many stories of faith where people are often living according to the faith that they have. And in the New Testament, you have that, as well as you have Paul just kind of dissecting faith and what that means. And so where I thought to go was in the book of Psalms, because in the book of Psalms, you have so many declarations from the writers of these psalms where they are facing something that is testing their faith. And more often than not, they end with a statement of faith in the midst of trial and suffering. And one in particular that I like, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but out of Psalm 27, this is David, one of his psalms. It starts out, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then he details some of the struggles he's facing. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." And then he ends with verses that I love, and they always stick in my head. He says, "I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And I just love his statement of faith there at the end. In the midst of realistic wars that he was facing, and he wasn't Amen. Seeing the land of the living around him, but he was believing for it.
That's where our faith really comes in. Let's stand, if you will, and just a word that everyone is invited to the picnic. If you forgot today's the picnic and you don't have anything to offer, there's going to be plenty there for everybody. So come on over, and we'll start after all of us make our way over there. But now, hear these words. This is in a letter Paul wrote to the Ephesians. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Go in peace, and the God of peace go with you. Amen.